You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Eight minutes after nine here on a Monday. Joining me on the New York Yankees hotline, Michael Musselman. What's up, dude?
Hey, New York Yankees hotline. What is this, the suicide hotline?
Why would they? Are you kidding me? You guys are being run down like a dog. You and your hot start. Like, don't look now, but you're about to get run over by a by an 18-inch tread.
Because if it was the New York Yankees hotline, it would be a suicide hotline.
That would be the Red Sox. Like, they're still coming. They won't quit winning. What's going on?
Did you see the facts that I sent you? No team leading the series this far in, winning 20-7, has ever lost, ever. Guess who came up with that fact?
You did.
I did. I made that up. So if it's, if that happens it's, and the Red Sox win it, then it's that's worse.
The all right. So tell everybody what, tell everybody your excitement for the morning.
Oh, so I was sitting there and it's in my garage, and my body armor was hanging on this on a hanger. You know, this big scuba diving hanger. It's not like a wire hanger. Of course, it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
But yeah. But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, I haven't looked in that thing in a long time, you know, like open that up and look at all the pouches, because it's, except for the ammunition and the grenades that were on here, it's exactly the same. Hasn't been moved.
Okay, so which version of it? Is it the plate carrier version or what?
No, this is the good kind.
Oh.
This is the, not the, yeah, it's got plates, but it's not the old one, you know what I'm talking about?
No, the new, the Afghanistan version?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The real nice one.
Yeah.
The real lightweight.
The lighter weight, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so tell everybody what happened.
So I'm going through it. I'm over at Bucks, by the way. And I was going through it, kind of looking stuff. And then I took my seatbelt cutter out. Remember those?
Yes.
So I took my seat cutter out.
Okay, tell everybody what that thing's for.
So when you're, we used them, if you're caught in an MRAP or ITV or, you know, any of those things, and they roll over into the rivers, the only way to get out of those seatbelts is to have a cutter, and you cut through the seatbelt. It's just like a J-hook. You move it, and it grabs the seatbelt, and you just pull. And it slices right through it. Pretty good.
Okay, so you're going,
in the bottom of that.
You're going through your stuff.
In the bottom of where my seatbelt cutter is, there's a long pouch. I took it out, and I felt the bottom, and I'm like, there's a bulge down there. What is that? So I turned it upside down and shook it, and out came a little old bag, kind of broken up. And inside there is my grandmother's, who was given to it by her mother, rosary.
Okay,
so
keep going.
I know it's yeah, it's over 100 years old, easy. And so I lost this thing like 7 years ago. I couldn't remember what happened to it. And I thought, because it was in my old Toyota Tundra, I'd had it in my Toyota Tundra. And then I thought, for some reason when I couldn't find it, I said, shit, I bet you it was still in my Tundra when I sold it. And I knew I went through that thing with a fine-tooth comb, but... So I just kind of gave up on it, and then lo and behold, it was in my body armor because I'd taken it to Afghanistan, didn't even know it.
So you see this, and you started, and you went into your happy
dance. Yeah. Yep.
So you and Buck dancing around his shop, and he doesn't even know why he's dancing.
No, Buck wasn't there.
Oh. The I was telling Mike just recently I had a similar experience, not a rosary though, okay, first of all, this is your grandma from San Diego that we know.
Yeah.
And you lost her rosary.
Yeah.
And how did you
get... Believe me, I felt like shit for a long time. Oh, my... I didn't go that one.
No, you don't understand the story unless... So how did... Who gave you this? When did they give this to you?
It was after my grandmother died. My aunt gave it to me. The oldest.
So
it was a big deal. I mean, it's been a big deal. It's like the only thing I've ever... The only thing I have left of hers.
And so then it goes away, and you just feel like shit. You just feel like shit.
Oh, dude, I mean, I tore apart the house, I don't know how many days.
See, I'm like you.
Because I just couldn't bring myself to believe that I'd lost it.
Because you would never misplace it, right? You would always take care of it, right? You wouldn't. On a lesser scale, before we came on, I was telling Mike that I had a battery pack, and it's like a silver battery pack with like rubber shield around it, has a Marine Corps emblem, has a small Marine Corps emblem on it, and I took it to Iraq and Afghanistan, but it was one of my things that, you know, went with me. And I think like a lot of people, I have like loyalty to inanimate objects. And so, it's certainly not in the same category as your rosary, but it's still important to me. So I lend it to Colleen, and she loses it. And she says, "Dad, I don't know what happened to it." And this is probably 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to it. I didn't take it out at school. I said, "Well, did it just vanish out of your pack?" And I didn't get mad. I just looked at her and I said, "Colleen, that was mine. That was important to me. You know, I took that to Iraq and Afghanistan with me." And I didn't get mad,
right.
But, you know, which is, we both know, probably worse when somebody's simply disappointed in you. So a week ago, I get this text on Saturday. "Dad, you'll never believe what I just found." And I said, "What?" And she sends a picture of it to me. And I said, "No way." I said, "Where was it? You dope?" And she said, "It fell out of my backpack in Mom's car, and it fell down between the seat and the console, and I dropped the pencil, and I stuck my hand down to grab the pencil, and while I was looking for the pencil, I felt this rubber thing, and I was like, well, what's that?" She said, and she said, "I was so excited when I found it." Right?
Yeah.
Same emotions, Mike, that you lose something that was important to somebody and somehow or other. That's awesome. So Monday's good then.
Yeah. Great day today.
Describe the rosary for us.
Well, it did start out as Monday is a great day, or today is a great day. Believe me.
We'll get.
I don't want to go on an air, but let's just say it like this. It had the mother-in-law over, who I love dearly.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, wasn't her.
Sure.
But it was just like everything going on, you know. So she had a small dog. The dog over, my dog, my big dog. They don't get along very well, but you know, it was just a very hectic weekend that I couldn't wait for it to. It was like, oh.
So you sound a little stressed out, man. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm better.
All right, that's good. The wait, we were talking about something. What were we going to talk about?
You were going to ask me how great the Red Sox have been doing this year.
They're sucking ass the last week too. What's that sucking noise coming out of the East? That's a collective sucking noise.
What's that small piglet wheeling in the background?
It's
called a Yankee pig.
They won on Sunday, though, barely. Their closer almost lost it. You know what, Mike? How bullshit when you go see the Red Sox, and I went and saw the Yankees play on Saturday, when it seems like at least half the stadium is rooting for the other team, and you're the home team. You're the home team, you're the Angels.
Right.
And that never happens on the East Coast. Only on the West Coast where you have all these transplanted people and whatnot. It's so, like, I thought if I was an Angel fan, man, I'd be pissed at all these people that sold their tickets to Yankee fans. Like, what about home field advantage when all of a sudden half the stadium's yelling, "Let's go Yankees" or "Let's go Red Sox"? Like, what is that? So, kind of bullshit. Hey, no, I know what I wanted you to do. Describe your grandma's rosary.
So it's just like the, it's just the cross.
Right.
And it comes up, but it's got the real, they're hand cut stones that were part of it, but they're, the metal's all deteriorated.
Right.
But it's just like a normal rosary. I mean, it's like a blue stone. Can't think of what they are.
Your grandma probably put some wear and tear on those things, right?
No, it's just the metal is so old. I mean, it literally
No, but I'm saying she probably...
Over 100 like, something years old.
My grandma kept hers in a little rosary pouch. And she'd pull that out of her purse, and she'd get, you know, her rosary beads out. And during Mass, she'd say the rosary at sometimes, and so... and then it would go back into the rosary pouch. And so...
Right.
And so it's just... it's something you grew up with if you grew up in a Catholic family. CBS News reporting, John McCain's son-in-law told him to take care of his daughter. Recently married Meghan McCain, and according to news reports out of Arizona, told him last night to take care of his daughter as he continues to battle an aggressive form of brain cancer. The tweet was subsequently taken down. Haven't heard anything about John McCain, but that certainly doesn't sound very good. Did you do anything exciting with your mother-in-law over the weekend, other than like?
I just chilled out, man.
Guard dog duty?
No, that's it.
That's it?
Right. Yeah, that's it.
All right. What Hold on. I've got an email. Mac, I listen to you guys on a regular basis, and I've come to find you both humorous, and in spite of your jackassery, you both give pretty good advice. What do you do if you have a mother-in-law that you don't get along with? Any advice?
Tell her. Yeah, what? Tell her.
What do you... All right, what do you tell her? You got to answer?
You tell her... No, that's Melanie. That's Buck's wife, not my wife.
All right. What do you tell her? What do you tell her?
You tell her. Just say, hey, here's the difference. Let's use the word Linda. Because I don't know Linda. Who knows, right? So Linda's my wife, my stepmom. And, sometimes you got to look at...
She's your mother-in-law.
Yeah, mother-in-law. So sometimes you got to look in the mirror and kind of come to a conclusion. Is this me? Which, let's say in this case, it's not. Let's say this guy that emailed it, he's not. It's all the mother-in-law. Right?
Okay, it's not his fault. So we have to assign blame?
Right. Yeah, you got to share it.
All right.
If you add to it, then, man, there's nothing you can do. You got to change your ways.
So you have to take partial responsibility and...
If you are to blame as well.
Whoa.
If you're adding to it and not fixing it.
Yeah, but the reason there would be a problem is because we can't fix it.
No. The problem sometimes comes into is not because we can't, it's we're not willing to.
I don't know that I believe that because so, I think what we're I think
No, here's why, Mac.
Okay.
Let me explain. So
explain
here's the solution. You say, hey, you know what, Linda, let's you and me go out to dinner and just have a talk. I'd like to take you to dinner. And don't go to dinner fancy, just go somewhere like frickin' TGIF's or Applebee's.
All right, so we go someplace normal. We grab something to eat. But then, Mike,
you gotta go in public.
But I think, though, let me, and I'll wait to see if this guy emails again. But let's just presuppose we've done that. We've done that already. And we still...
Okay, but let's go through this like we haven't.
Okay. All right. So we do that.
So
then what?
Take her out.
Yeah.
Public place so she doesn't lose her shit. Right? You don't want her to go batshit crazy on you.
In public.
So, in public. And then you sit down and tell her, listen, I love your daughter more than life itself. And I'm going to grow old with her. and we're going to be together. Now, here's the situation that we're in. Either you can be there along for the ride, or you can get the fuck out. This is all on you, Linda.
Wait a minute. I thought
we were going to be there to be a barrier.
Wait a minute. I thought we were doing the kinder, gentler thing.
I never said I was being kinder or gentler.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
I thought that's why we went to
Applebee's.
No, be a realist.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if you want
to be part of this ride, if you want to be part of this journey with us, I would love. You'll get first class accommodations in this journey with us. But if you choose to continue down this path, you're going to be in fourth class steerage right there next to the boilers, and life's going to suck for you.
But don't you think that she's going to come back and say, son, let me explain something to you. Your wife sprung from my ovaries, okay? And while she's made a decision to include you in her life, I don't care for your tone, and I don't care for the way you treat me when I'm around. And so
we chose fourth class steerage, Linda. I hope you didn't. I was really, really hoping that you were a little more intelligent. Really was. And to see this for what it was worth, and to use those 6 brain cells that you got left to make the right choice.
We just burned it down.
No, I didn't burn it down.
Oh, you did.
The embankment.
When you mentioned
no bridge is ever going to be built there now.
When you mentioned the 6 brain cells, you just pyroed the shit out of that, okay? Congratulations.
Blew the embankment, so no foundation can ever go into that river.
I think you have to just be respectful, and you can keep a distance, and... You're not going to be friends with everybody, but you owe it to your spouse to get along, to not make it worse. And so sometimes that's as good as it gets. Maybe you don't care for each other.
No.
She doesn't see the goodness in you and you don't see it in her. But it's your wife's mother.
No. Let me explain why I keep saying no and you keep saying why you keep saying no.
Why do you keep saying no?
Because listen, marriage is about compromise.
Yes.
You're going to be compromising your whole life. Having a mother-in-law, and you have to compromise with her, too? No. That's why I say you sit down with Linda, and you explain this is how it's going to be.
Don't listen to him.
And she came back like you just did.
He's got this so wrong, it's ridiculous.
No.
Yeah.
Mac, I don't have it wrong.
You can't just...
compromise... Once you stop, listen, if you have a daughter, you have a daughter, you're going to have to compromise with her, too. When she gets of age, there's going to be compromise.
Yeah.
Son's different story. You don't compromise with the son. You grab that kid right by the scruff of his neck, and you pull him straight up, and you look at him and tell him.
That is true, by the way.
Yeah.
That is
straight
up true.
But little girl, you're going to have to compromise.
All right.
Now, daddy wants you to do this, sweetheart. Yes, I know, it sucks.
Well, quit complaining. But yes and no. Yes and no.
No. Son complains? I don't want to do that, Dad. I don't remember asking you. There was not a question mark at the end of that statement.
So there's the veneer or the facade of Daddy asking you to do it, but if you push beyond that, then you get the same treatment as the son got? Kinda.
Yeah. All right,
I'm with you. Yeah. Okay,
but you don't have to compromise with mother-in-law.
Once you start
compromising mother-in-law,
I think you do.
Oh,
why don't you
pull your spine out? Hand it over.
Why don't you? If why don't you have to compromise?
I'm gonna start calling you cuttlefish. You're a cuttlefish.
No, I'm not.
You have like a feather. They call it a cartilage.
But that's your wife's mother. She looks at you and says, "Michael, can't you just get along with her? Can't you just not contribute to a more negative event? Can't you just like be Just polite and respectful?
He's doing this just to be the devil's advocate.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not.
No, because, no.
Don't, I mean, come on. Don't, so this is...
Don't compromise with any other woman than your wife or your daughter.
You have to. Starts. Your mother-in-law. Why? How do you think mothers-in-laws have got this legendary mystique that goes with being a mother-in-law? How do you think they got that?
Well, then, because, you know what? Because son-in-laws have no goddamn spine to stand up to them. That's why.
You can't. It's your wife's mother. How do you stand up to her? What do you say?
What? Okay, do we have to go through this whole thing again? Do I have to... take her to Applebee's, you sit her down, and you say, Linda, here's how it's going to be. You can join us on this beautiful voyage that we're going to have together, me and her.
Here's another, hold on. Here's another email. Can we pick another name? My wife's name is Linda. I don't like Linda. I don't like Linda. Please, another name.
All right.
Carla.
Naomi. No, don't do Naomi. I know a Naomi.
You know a Naomi?
Oh, yeah, we can't do Carla either. What? Carla, I know Carla. She's good. She's cool.
How about Margaret? That's like uptight formal name, Margaret. You know any Margarets?
Yeah, Margo.
Margo. All right.
Yeah, East Coaster. Yeah. Of course, right?
Of course. The
Georgetown grad, yeah, Margo. Right. Yeah.
My sister's named Margaret. My grandma's name was Margaret. The one I grabbed in my dream the other night, the one I yoked up. My grandma, her name's Margaret.
Let's just use Esmeralda.
I don't know anybody who's not in cartoons whose name is Esmeralda. So yeah, feel free.
Yeah.
Esmeralda's her new name.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Esmeralda. So when you and Esmeralda, you take Esmeralda to Applebee's. Again,
yeah.
Don't take her somewhere fancy, either, because this is not going to go well, you know.
Okay. So
and it's delivery.
Okay. You walk into Applebee's, and she looks at you, and she says, is this, like, the best we could do this afternoon, you and me? And you say...
I didn't come here to impress you, to take you to bed.
Okay, hold on. We'll role play. I'll be the mother-in-law, and you be yourself, okay? All right, so we pull up into Applebee's, and I look around, and I said, do you need to stop here to borrow money from somebody? Why are we here?
This is where we're coming to talk, and don't start playing this game with me that this is way above your league, because I know you probably visit these places every Friday night.
Michael.
Ever since your husband walked out on you.
Don't force my hand, okay? Don't make up my husband walked out on me, okay? I know where that's going.
Okay, so that's what's next. Then you finally come.
My husband decided to stay at home this weekend because he's a happy man. He's content in every way. He's content in every way, and he just wanted me to have a little bit of girl time with my beautiful daughter, who I love and adore.
The next time you want to have that, tell my wife to meet you midway, and I'd be happy for her to meet you there.
Why don't you, Michael, why don't you like me? I know you
We're not in Applebee's yet.
I know you...
I want to sit down and you.
I know you have mental health issues, and I know you have, like, I know you're, like,
yeah,
damaged.
I do. I do have, yeah.
I know you're damaged, yeah, and fragile, and I have to tell you that you scare us all with this affinity you have for guns. We all think that you should let it go, okay? Because we don't think your anger...
I'm glad we have the ground rules, then.
We don't think your anger and your guns, it really does scare all of us.
Okay, good. Should. So, can we continue this conversation of why I brought you here?
Yes, can we, are you going to go in and get money at an ATM so we can go have lunch where we're going to have lunch?
No, this is where, okay, if you want to have a conversation in the car, fine, here's the deal. And then that's what I tell you. Esmeralda, listen. I am married to your daughter. I'm going to stay with your daughter.
Oh, we know that.
If you want to be part of this, then by all means, come on board.
Michael, you don't understand. You don't understand, sweetheart. I am part of it.
Esmeralda.
I am part of it. I'm part of it. You're part of it. We're all part of it.
There you go. So, here's the deal. This is the problem right here. You won't keep your mouth shut, lady.
Pardon me, Michael?
See? You just did it again.
Pardon me? You want me to sit here and shut up?
And listen. Listen for a change. It may change your life.
Oh, I think if one of the two of us needs to listen to somebody, I think I can tell you who that is. And if you take that rearview mirror that you got and you tilt it downward and to the left, you'll see who needs to go to therapy more often. And you'll see who needs to get back on their meds. You'll see. Trust me. Those Botox ain't helping shit.
Yeah, this would not be a good conversation to be having. Because it may come back where, babe, we were out with your mom, I don't know what the hell happened, she just took off and ran out in the middle of the night.
You would never, ever do that. See, we just did a little role playing, that didn't go very well, I gotta tell you that right now, it did not go well.
No, it went perfect.
No,
I
did not.
No,
because you can't walk in the house and your wife looks at you and says, "Where's my mom?" Like, I don't know.
Her at Applebee's.
She got out of the car in Applebee's. She slammed the door, said something about Uber, and that she would see me later.
Yeah.
In a casket. So, I'm not sure. And then what would she say? What would she say?
Once you start giving in, man.
You can't give in. Okay, here's another email. Talk about losing items of value. I lost my grandmother's class ring. I was about 20. Asked my mom if I could wear her mom's class ring. Went out partying with some friends and ended up... This is a Minnesota girl, Mike, so you'll relate to this. I ended up in a very animated snowball fight. Yep, was wearing no gloves. Hands got pretty cold. I didn't realize till late that night, long after we left the field where we had the snowball fight, that the ring was no longer on my finger. I got a metal detector the next day from a friend of mine and went out to that field where we were. I could clearly see the footprints disturbing the snow where we were screwing around. Didn't ever find the ring. I've never felt as awful as I did when I had to look my mom in the eyes and tell her that I lost my mother's class ring. I can still see her face. Unhappy smile.
So what'd she do about it?
She went and
looked. Has she done anything to rectify it?
You mean like have another one made?
Okay, so Johnston is in Minnesota. That make all those rings?
Oh. She didn't
find out what class she was at. They have a record to pull it up. Hell, they'll go even back to the 50s.
And make another one?
And make another one, yeah. Money.
Good call. And you're right. They got all the plans. Get the mold.
Yeah.
Get the mold
out.
Okay,
so Buck's got a question for you.
All right. What's the question?
It's obvious that Muslims doesn't like pussy, but do you? Because that's going to control the conversation with the mother.
So let me clean it up a little bit.
What do you say?
He said, obviously, I don't like women because the way I'm going, I'm not going to get one. Because if you keep talking like that, basically you're not going to have it.
Yeah, I think you've got a problem.
I think I got a problem?
Yeah.
I have a goddamn problem.
Yeah.
You have to clean up my deal?
The whole world. If I have a problem, no. The world's got a problem.
Oh, the world?
I'm not skewed. The world's skewed.
The world's got a problem. You're part of it.
Yeah. No, I'm the solution.
No. You are not.
I'm not the not like the final solution type solution, but, I mean, but I'm the solution.
Yeah, I'm glad we clarified that.
Yeah.
But you're making your wife unhappy. I mean, it's her mom. She wants her mom to feel welcome. She wants everybody to get along. And now here you are.
No, and she does. No. We get along. You're asking me on this.
No. We're not talking about you and your mom, mother-in-law.
Right.
We're just talking about the premises.
I had a mother-in-law that was like that.
Yeah, was like that. I don't think you can't do it that way. First of all, you never go out to lunch with her by yourself because that would not end well.
Okay.
It would just make things worse.
Mac, but see, you got to understand too. When you meet, you meet a girl for the first time.
Right.
And you meet her, then you meet her parents. You know this is going somewhere, right?
Right.
You know, if she brings her mom and dad that she wants to, you know, she wants that nod from the parents saying, yeah,
right,
this is a good guy.
Right.
So you act your best behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you go wrong. When you start acting like somebody you're not. Because that's the first perception that they're going to perceive of you. They're like, oh, this is a good boy. No. That's where you don't act like a choir boy unless you're a choir boy.
You acted like a choir boy like everybody else did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. I don't believe that for 1 second.
That was exactly who I was.
No, I don't believe that.
Buff, finish doing what you're doing. I don't need anything from the peanut gallery. I'm talking to the peanut gallery right now.
I don't need... Yeah. What's Buck banging on? What's he making?
He's making... I'll take a picture of it and send it to you, but he's making like a... It's a leather place setting. Placemat. For wine glasses and a bottle of wine. Really cool. I like the whiskey one actually better that he's been making.
Email. Matt, can we see a picture of the Gunner's grandma's rosary? When you send a picture of what Buck's banging on, will you send a picture of the rosary too?
Yeah, I can send that. I'd have to take it back out. So, Buck gave me great advice. I'm going to go get it looked at by... There's a jeweler in town, see if they can restore it and get it back to at least something, you know, because it's missing a lot of the stones.
Right.
But at least get it back to, you know, something I can actually not worry about it falling apart.
Well, did you lose the stones or did she?
No, because it's been, like I said, been deteriorating. And I don't know if they're all here. But they're like little pockets of, you know, there's like six on one little metal thing and there's like two on another. So, and I don't need it, all the stones together. I just want, you know, whatever they can do and then put it together. So I'll take a picture of it.
Yeah, send it to me. I'll post it so people...
Send it to your personal one?
Doesn't matter, either one. I'll put it up so people
can
see it.
It's on Buck's workbench, so it's kind of...
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
The thing that I lost that I feel bad about is before I went to Iraq the first time, Catherine, my older daughter, she was in, I can't remember what grade, 2004. She was 11, so what is she, in fourth grade, fifth grade, something like that? Anyway, they had done bead weaving at school. So she gave me this little, like, woven thing of beads. And the beads were very small, random colors. She said, Dad, we're learning how to bead like the Dakota tribes beaded up here. I said, oh, cool. She said, I made this for you. And so the ends had just
like you're working
masking tape on them. And it was in my left pocket of my uniform every day that I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, almost 3 years.
Yeah.
And it started to fall apart. I'd tape it. I'd put some of the beads in a bag, blah, 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 blah. I finally had to make, I took a piece of, a 550 cord mic, and I took one of the strands that runs inside the cord?
Yeah, the white strands.
Yeah. I took one of those, and then, I threaded it. I threaded every goddamn bead onto that thing. and it fell out of my pocket on a flight from North Dakota to California after we got back from Afghanistan, and I was sick about it. That thing, and Mike can tell you, you're in one of those places, and you're doing whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden you reach into your pocket, and you touch this thing that your daughter gave you, okay? And it takes you away from that place, right? Your daughter comes into your head. And it's just, and I lost it. And I turned the house upside down, I turned the car upside down. And the only thing I could figure was I reached into my pocket on the airplane, and it came out of my pocket. But since then, I found elements of it, and I took those and I made some of those, and then I bought some new ones, and I made it into back to what I had in my pocket. And it's now sitting here in my office. So I can't tell which bees were not new, which bees are new. So it's a replica. But I felt sick. That
did you see the picture?
Hold on, I'm looking at it now. Hold on, here's another email. Mac, it is pretty amazing. The Red Sox were incredible in terms of getting out to that start, and the Yankees have straight up chased them down. And we're not even out of April yet, for God's sakes. This is going to be an awesome baseball season in the American League East. Both teams are really good. The surprise, though, really, is Tampa Bay has played really well.
Yeah.
And so it should be great, though. But the Red Sox and the Yankees, it's going to be awesome all year because both of them are really good. The all right. Michael Musselman. I got four pictures for you. Are those boots? Are those cigarettes? What are those? What are all those pieces of wood?
Those are lemon wood pegs.
What are they for?
Lemonwood pegs. They're for pegging the bottom of a boot.
Why is Buck always correcting you?
No, I said lemonwood. Buck's got old man ears.
He does.
Huh?
You have old. You can't even hear.
Germany. See how small these are?
Wait a minute. I'm looking
at. They take a whole tree and they shave it down to just one of these. So each one of these represents the whole tree.
Just
to get to the center. This is part of a German tree.
Why isn't the crucifix attached to the rosary?
It's broken. I keep trying to tell you that.
You're a fix-it guy. A fix-it guy, for God's sakes, man.
No, the metal is so brittle. If you bend it, it smashes right up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what they can do. You know what? And that's your grandma's, man. That's cool. That's cool as hell, Mike.
Well, that's my great grandma's, actually. It was her mother. And then she got it from her mom. Her mom gave it to her when she received communion when she was like a little girl.
Where are they from?
Colorado.
So in Colorado. Wow. That's cool. I love stuff.
Walsenburg, Colorado.
I love stuff like that. Okay, so
like I said, I'm picturing my grandma gets this when she's a little girl receiving communion, you know, and hell, the world was a different place back then.
A little bit. Okay, so now, now we see a piece of marble and there's a triangular piece of leather and it looks like.
That's what Buck's working on.
It looks like what Buck's pounding on. And then.
Yeah, so if you look, it's not done yet, but he's stamping all that in the middle. That's the design.
Yeah, what is that? What's a triangle piece?
Okay, so that's going to be like, so if you kind of, and the top portion would be the wine bottle's going to be, and then the two corners would be the glasses. So if you're sitting next to somebody, it's like a placemat. It's a dinner mat. It's like a big coaster for the bottle and two glasses.
All right. And explain to me the wood. Where does the wood go?
That goes in the bottom of your, when you make the boots.
Yeah.
And he pegs the last, or the leather on the bottom of the last. So the leather sole are held in by those wooden pegs.
Oh, do they have slits in them?
He makes them.
He makes the slits into those wooden things, and that's how they hold the metal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's like the old fashioned, like Pinocchio's dad. What's his Aleppo?
Aleppo.
No, Aleppo's in Syria.
Hey,
what's Pinocchio's dad's name?
Geppetto, you dumbass.
Even he knew.
You're the only one that didn't know. He was a cobbler. He wasn't a bootmaker.
He made boots?
No.
He made shoes?
The cobbler had leather, but no less did he. So he couldn't make them new shoes, don't you see? What's that to?
What the hell are you singing?
It's a song I know. I don't know why I know it, but I know it. It's about a cobbler. I know a song about Buck.
A cobbler song?
Yeah, it's a cobbler song.
A little cobbler song? He just said, you're watching too much TV.
Ask Buck what.
It's Walt Disney, that's why.
Ask Buck what Grady finished.
What?
Ask Buck what Grady finished. They don't go to school down there, Mike, just so you know. Ask him what Grady finished. Second or third?
Mac just asked you, what grade did Buck finish? You know it's like second or third grade.
They don't have to go to school down there. They got to help on the farm and the ranch and shit.
Yeah, everything's taught to them. They don't know the ranchers. They don't have to work in school. No, it's like Little House on the Prairie. They all went to kindergarten to high school. Yeah.
Yeah, they went just to...
Yeah, as he just replied, they went to school. They didn't go to school.
Oh, really? I just go to school myself.
Oh, shit.
I know.
I'm telling you, man, you got to make a trip down here, dude. You'd be sitting in here. You'd probably never leave. You'd be sitting here drinking coffee, bullshitting, laughing. What's this? You get like a little kid.
I would be. That's how I do it. I'd become a cobbler.
He's got a sewing machine like a parachute rigger does.
I can imagine. And that's what I would be good at, because I can sew. I can sew on a sewing machine. I've been sewing my equipment for years, and then I learned on sewing machines. I did even more of it.
So Max saying that he's a master in all your sewing machines. So
I am. I would. I would crush his sewing machines. And what pissed me off was that... What is
hey, guys, you gotta hear this.
One thing I've learned about you guys is a good thing y'all were Marines, because listening to y'all talk, y'all don't know how to do dick shit other than be a Marine.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, don't ever let him speak on this program again. Okay? I used to sew leather with like a fabric sewing machine. I bent needles. Oh, man, it would piss me off. So, are you kidding me? I would love to get my hands on one of those, because those are like sewing machines from hell, man, that go through a couple pieces of leather.
I mean, they're the same ones that our riggers had. You know, a parachute rigger has same sewing machine.
Oh. Yeah, I never parachuted, but so I'll take your word for it.
Well, no, but I had riggers like do gear for me, you know, like fix my pouches or
do some gear work
on my body armor.
I never had.
That's all done by riggers.
I never had riggers, so I did it myself. I'd either hand sew it, and people would look at me and say, "Where'd you get that?" I'd like, "I made it." Like, what? Well, yeah. I saw so-and-so had a pouch like that, and so I took, you know, an extra blouse, and I cut it up, and I made it. I ghettoed it, and I sewed it by hand. Because I couldn't sew, you know, through, like, hard canvas. I'd sit there. My kids would be running around. Susan would be like, "What are you doing?" And she'd be like, "Oh, you're sewing your stuff again." I'm like, "Yeah, just..."
Hey, you know what? I have my body armor. Yep. I have my flexi cuffs. You know, remember those flexi cuffs that we used to cuff all the Iraqis up with? I love it.
You just went into your flat jacket just for, wonder what's in there?
I just saw, I haven't put it on or I haven't touched it since, you know, I left. And then I was looking at it going, man, I wonder what's still in here. Like, all my flashlight shit still works. I have some chem lights in the front that still work. One of my little lights still works in the front, you know, so it's like, and then I'm like, oh, there's my Gerber engineer tool, you know, with the C4 pick for putting blasting caps in.
I love those. All those little, you get all these.
That, you know what that's for, Buck?
He doesn't know shit. All I know about cobblers.
See, Buckle knew what it was.
All I know about cobblers.
Like crimpers for crimping blasting caps.
Yeah. All I know about cobblers, it's a good thing they can cobble, because other than that, they don't know shit.
Yeah, this ain't new to him. He's seen this before.
Oh, right.
My engineering Gerber set.
Hey, when Buck was a kid, what did he want to be a bootmaker? What did he, is that what he's been his whole life? I thought, my understanding is that he became a bootmaker like relatively recently, later in life.
Yeah, he's been a bootmaker for what, 5, 6 years? 5 and a half years. Buck's done a lot of everything, man.
He's that guy?
Training cutting horses, ranch hand. I don't know if you're ever a foreman on a ranch.
No.
He was just a ranch hand, cut and horse trainer, cabinet maker, bunch of stuff.
What else? Keep going.
I don't know. What else, Buck?
What's the best job, Mike? Ask him what's the best job he ever had.
The best job he ever had? Being my friend. And he just said, and that's a job. That is a job. No, probably what he's doing now. Or any job, I guess, what you're doing is your best job.
No, it's not. Why do you think you go get a new job? Because your current job isn't your best job.
No?
Hold on, email.
Changes in life, man.
Oh, shut up. Email. Mac, how did the gunner pay for his Botox shots? Mike, you want to go over your Botox shot? First of all, how'd you get them authorized? And then, so who's paying for
them? Insurance pays for them all. I don't pay a dime.
Okay, so what, VA insurance? What kind of insurance?
No, TRICARE. You know, so I pay the extra.
Oh, that's right. So Mike,
yeah.
Mike has the good TRICARE.
VA wasn't going to do it. Yeah, VA said... VA said, no way. Hell, the VA didn't even authorize my Imitrex. They gave me some cheapo, like, 1950-looking bottle you had to put, you know, tear the top off, take the other piece off, screw this other thing on, put it on there, shake it up, and then you spray it in your nose to get rid of the migraine headache, and it didn't work. And I went back to him and told him, and I said, what do I need to get the Imitrex stuff authorized? Oh, sir, we don't authorize that. It's too expensive. Okay. So that's where we are at.
That's
it costs too much money.
That sucks so much. Well, why don't you authorize it? Oh, that's too expensive. Only rich people get drugs like that. Sorry.
So stupid, man.
Cobbler.
And you wonder why people get mad.
Yeah, exactly. You wonder why your mother-in-law hates you. A cobbler,
well,
a cobbler, also known as a shoemaker or cordwainer, repairs and restores footworks. It's one of the world's oldest profession that peaked long ago, but is still going strong. Now, so does Buck consider himself a cobbler? Is he different?
No, he doesn't do shoes. He just does boots.
So he's a specialty cobbler.
Yeah.
He's technically a bootmaker, so he's, but a cobbler, a shoemaker, is also known as a shoemaker. So shoemaker, cobbler. Interesting. Okay. All right. Hold on. Another email. Mac, I take exception of your advice for how to deal with mother-in-law. And then, well, not really you, but Gunner's advice. I don't think that helps anything. As a woman, if my mother wasn't welcome in my house, I would be mortified. I think he needs to rethink that.
No. But, okay, so here's a woman that's clearly got her head on her shoulders. She's compromising.
She knows if she thinks
that her mother, you know, it's not her mother's life anymore. When she enters your home, she's in my home. I'm not in her home. She needs to respect the boundaries. Don't come in and intrude. So I get what she's saying. Yeah, absolutely. And our advice that we were talking about was kind of to the extreme. You know, what would you do if you came into
Don't drag me in there. That was your advice. Don't say our advice. I didn't pile on that train with your dumb
ass. You were role playing too, so that makes us a team. You're in. Don't try and back out now, coward.
I'm not going to be co-opted and be guilty because you're pleading guilty. I didn't do anything wrong. I wouldn't do that.
I'm not saying I did anything wrong either.
Oh, I'm just telling you, if you did.
My advice is to, like, and I'm sure this lady that just sent the email in, her mother-in-law is not like that because she wouldn't even allow it. She would have a discussion with her mother if she became too hostile, like, you know, this is the way it's going to be, whatever. You know, you sit down and talk to your mom and say, listen, because there are cases where marriages are destroyed by the in-laws. They just can't get along.
Hey, listen to this. My friend Kim, who comes on Friday and talks about food, he had a pretty strong-willed mom, right? And he got married. His second marriage, he got married, I want to say maybe 50. And so his mother comes out, and she's going to spend a week with him. The second day she's there, staying with him, they both go to work. When they come home, the furniture in the house has been rearranged.
I'd kick her off. I seriously would, man.
What would you say to your mom?
Well, first of all, my mom would never do that because I have always been pretty stern with my mom when it came to boundaries.
Right.
There's her life and my life, and I respect her decisions. But when her decisions impede into my life, we're past that. She had that opportunity until I was, 18 and moved out of the house. After that, like I said, I thank her for all the decisions and the help that she gave me, lead me, to this point in my life. But when she knows if she ever did that, she better hope that when I come home, she's tied up and she says, burglars did it. Because I'd be like, get the out of my house right now. But my mom would never do that. Like I said, no, there's no way, dude. No way.
After I got engaged, my mom called me and she said, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. And my dad had gotten married, he had gotten remarried in, I want to say November, and I was getting married in January. So sometime after November, December, my mom calls me and she says, you can't invite her to the wedding. And I said,
right.
I said, what? And she said, we had had a lot of drama in my family with my parents' divorce and all the rest of the stuff. Anyway, so I said, Mom, she's Dad's wife. Okay. I have to invite her. I can't not invite her.
Right.
And I said, and if you can't come because of that, I'll understand.
Then so be it. Yeah.
Okay. I said, but we are not going to get the shit show going on the day of my wedding. So if you can't come, I'm okay with that because it's the princess's fairy day. Okay. Every one of us is in support of that goal. Okay. It's her magic day. There's going to be no stupidity. Nobody's getting drunk and acting stupid, or I will personally throw their ass out. And I've told my three sisters this shit. And so one of my sisters called me back. She's like, how could you? I said, what? She said, you told Mom not to come to your wedding? I said, that's not what I said. I said, I told her if she couldn't come, I'd understand. But and as you said, Mike, at some point you have to throw in with your wife, and she throws in with you.
Yeah.
Right, and that's probably what we. So the other part is your wife needs to sit down with her mom and say, you know, Mom, Michael's my husband. He's not your son. You don't have the right to an opinion about everything he does. And so it would be better if you restrain when you don't agree, you know, you and you're in our home, then you can just restrain your opinion. But I need for you to work just as hard to get along with him as he's going to work to get along with you. And if you both do that, you can agree to disagree on stuff, and we can all enjoy each other, okay? But she's got to do that for you. And I'll tell you what, I think the worst situations you get into, for instance, my friend Kim, right, Jerry Boy, he didn't like to confront his mom. She was too strong-willed. And and ultimately, though, he had to do it for his wife. Or else, it's like, wait a minute, she rearranged the furniture in our house? Are you shitting me? Put that dog on a leash, man. What's wrong with you, Cherry Boy? And
if you left with Melanie and your mom changed the furniture in your house and you came back, like, everything, what would you do? I'd beat my mom half to death.
He wouldn't do that.
That shit don't fly, man.
No, but it causes a lot of problems in relationships when you don't.
Melanie, I left and come back in the house and rearrange, and I don't really do that good. But like I say, I like cookie every now and then, so you got to pick your battles.
You got to pick your battles, Mac.
You're right. No, but you got to throw in with each other, and you got to be. You got to be.
And you
don't
mean. I'm a battle veteran. I like battles. I don't care. I'll jump into any battle.
Yeah, just for sport. What's going on? Who is it?
Just
okay,
for
I'm
sport.
In.
Yeah, I'm in. Okay, just what's my sport. Position? Give me my motivation.
Oh, yeah.
What's my motivation in this fight? Oh, yeah. Where am I at? Okay.
All right. Let's go.
Because I've done that before where they're like, they pull me aside and go, okay, hey, listen, Gunner, you're on our side. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know what's. You guys didn't tell me. All right, yeah. So this is the side we're on. Oh, okay. Good to go. Go back in. All right, I recant all that stuff I just said. Now I'm on this side. You guys are really pissing me off this time.
Never mind. Now.
Never mind what I said before. This is where I really stand now.
All right, who do the Red Sox play tonight? Are you nervous?
No. Shit, why? We're 20-7, dude.
You're a game in first place, bro.
How can you be a game? You're at 17 and what? 7.
18-7. They're two games in first place. Red Sox. Red Sox play Kansas City. The Yankees play the Astros in a rematch of the American League Championship Series. So, good.
Yeah, baseball. But the Astros aren't doing so hot right now.
Yeah, the Dodgers just had a big problem too.
Yeah, the Dodgers are really sucking bad now.
Yeah, they they just benched their
They're just like the West Coast Yankees in my book. They can suck all they want.
They just benched their first baseman, who was Cody Bellinger, who did so great last year, for not hustling. For lack of hustle. What's up with that?
They actually use that word?
Yeah.
To hustle?
The manager said that. That's why he's not playing. He's not hustling. When you go public with that, Mike...
Yeah, you're getting fired, boys.
Yeah, that's not good, man. It's like we know that stuff, but when the manager...
I am a hustler. I hustle all the time.
I know. He's a
salesman. Doesn't sound good when you come back to that defense, though, either.
He's a salesman. When you go public with a comment like that, and you know the shitstorm that's going to ensue...
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask a question. Yankees-Astros... There's 16,000 tickets on sale on a website. How much is the cheapest ticket? This surprised me.
Where's the game being played?
Houston.
$60.
$14. You could sit in the bleachers.
Oh, no shit. Oh, yeah. It's not Yankee Stadium. It'll be $60 and be the cheapest ticket.
Okay. Kansas City and Boston at Fenway Park. 2,248 tickets. What's the cheapest ticket?
$4.
$6?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
$4.
What a joke. Yeah. That's from the ticket service. $6. Grandstand right. Outfield.
Yeah. That's some of the best place to be then.
No,
you're on
not.
The grand.
They're all drunk out there.
Yeah, but you're by the Green Monster's right there, man.
You ain't sitting at a Green Monster, right? You're sitting with the general prison population out there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Where do you when you go?
Real Bostonians.
They are real Bostonians. When you go to games at Fenway, where do you sit? Anywhere?
No, right behind, right on the first base, home plate, first base line.
Really?
We had good tickets last time. We were a little low. So we were right above the dugout. We were about four rows back out of the dugout. So I like being a little bit higher where you can get a little bit of angle. You know, when you're real low, it's hard to see those, you know, left field plays and really get the depth perception.
I don't know, man. Sitting down in the field. When my dad managed the Red Sox, those seats that are just, as you're looking at the Red Sox dugout, just to the right of the dugout, those seats right at the corner, those were his like four or eight seats right there. And so we're sitting there once.
Ooh, hoity toity.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome to watch a game. You can hear them yelling at each other. You can hear the shit people are talking. You know, you can. So anyway, we're sitting there once, and his second wife, there's a play at home plate, and she looks at me. She says, "I don't think he touched home plate." And I'm like, I look. I'm like, oh, really? And, like, what do you say? And she says, "I don't think he touched home plate. Should I say something?" And I said, "Sure, why not?"
Honey.
Could you imagine my dad?
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Oh, she said, "I don't think I should." And I looked over and I said, "That's a good decision, okay?" He probably wouldn't take that shit very well. But he used to...
John McNamara being told by his girlfriend. No, the rudder didn't touch.
I think he missed. Oh, yeah, that would have been awesome. Let me tell you, though, that was probably the best baseball seat I ever had in my life. I mean, Fenway's so small. The park is so beautiful and unique and historic.
Fenway is cool, man.
Yeah, you're so close to it. There's no other stadium. I don't think that you can sit that close. It's awesome. And it's old and it's beautiful. So anyway, all right. What do you got going the rest of the day?
I'm gonna head over to the jewelers and see what they can do to fix this. I'm kind of excited.
Oh, you should be.
That's cool.
No, congratulations.
Yeah, Bob gave me some good advice.
Well, there's a first, right? Hey, the sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while.
He just saluted. You're number one, Mac.
There you go. Thanks, Book. See you later there, Mr. Cobbler, Geppetto. All right. There you have it.
I don't know if he considered himself a cobbler, though.
He is a cobbler. He's a specialty cobbler.
He's a specialty cobbler.
Specialty cobbler. Mr. Cobbler. That's going to be his new name. He's not going to be Buck. He's going to be Cobbler.
He thinks of Cobbler as that crunchy stuff on top of peach pie.
All fat men think that, okay? We're trying to broaden his second grade education.
Cobbler, I'll take some. No.
No, son, it ain't that kind of cobbler. All right, have a great one.
All right, talk to you later, Mac.
There you go. The one and only. Michael Musselman. The Gunner. He's happy. And let me read you a couple more emails. Mac, your advice is pretty good. You guys surprise me every once in a while. I think it's really important for spouses to throw in together. If they do that, you can tend to work through all the problems that you have. Because normally, the best route is somewhere in the middle. But if you have a spouse that won't confront their family, then it becomes very, very, very difficult. And I'm sure as difficult as it was to tell your mom that, it was the right thing to do. Because you certainly cannot not invite your dad's wife. Question, did she come to your wedding? Yeah. No, she came and everybody behaved themselves, and it was wonderful. It was, went as it, as scripted. Yeah. So, and I'm not, I told her, I said, look, I understand, you know, I understand how difficult it's going to be for you. But you can do it. But if you don't want to, I understand. You don't have to, you don't have to say anything to me about it. I get it. So, but no, my mom, she's a tough lady. And it was hard because she, in fact, I was just looking at my report cards. And that she signed when I was in third, I don't know, sixth, and some other grade. Right? My mother signed her name, Mrs. John McNamara. She didn't sign Kathleen McNamara. It's a great penmanship, too. But, I mean, that was her identity, right? Much of her, much of my mom's identity was in who she married. And I think it was crushing for her when that didn't work out. And then to have to go to a very, very public event, the marriage of her son, by herself, her, husband, her famous husband, marrying a younger woman. Yeah, there's no small amount of sting there. But she was great. She was great. So, my mom, Kathleen. Corporal punishment, Kathleen. That's right. Anyway, have a great day. Chris Woodbridge is going to join us tomorrow on All Marine Radio. We're going to talk about the, we'll talk about some current events in the Marine Corps. I always like getting Woody's thoughts on that kind of stuff. And we'll talk about the April edition of the Marine Corps Gazette. So don't miss it. I'll find out what happened to Lamont. So not sure. Anyway, have a great one. On a Monday, All Marine Radio. Out.